You are listening to a sermon from His House Church. We are glad you can be a part of our church and we would love to hear from you. For more details on our church and for other sermons, you can visit www.hishouse.org.au and click on the links to media and then sermons for a full list of our recent messages. We hope you enjoy the following message.
And we think that we came to Christ, we receive Him converted, we saved and all that, just to go to heaven. I said, where is you actually reside? Where you actually live? And you come to a place that in the end they catch what I'm trying to get, which is you live in Christ and Christ lives in you. And that is where heaven is, really, in many ways. But it comes to a place that it's about journey as much as about destination. Our journey in life is so important, and why the Holy Spirit, the Lord, target you and I and bring us to a place to recognize Christ as a Savior, as a Lord in our lives. I mean, there is a purpose there, and the main purpose I'm going to share about this morning is about becoming like Christ-like. You become like Christ. And this is where I'm going to focus on this morning, because the purpose of God, the divine purpose of God from the beginning of the world, even before existence of the world, before man existed in the heart and the mind of God, to bring different race, all right, to present Him on this earth. You see, there's like in heaven to be on earth. And why God went, of course, as you know, in the garden, what He did, He went down, and I could visualize Him going down to the mud, to the earth, and a form, a shape, and He called Him man, human. And that man who was become is not just statue, He must be, in many ways, looks so good. And God said, that's not enough, and He gave Him a breath of life. And He become functioning human being, male and female, in the human race. God intended that, put His image on that man, and that man supposed to multiply and fill the earth, and supposed to, in many ways, present that image which God put within him. It's not about the outer person who created, it's about the person who God put within him, which is himself. And why it is important that you and I understand the divine purpose of God is actually that you and I become growing, all right, daily into that likeness of His Son. If you believe that, you say amen. You know, we hear a statement like the chief end of man to worship and glorify God, which is true. We hear about love the Lord and love man. We hear it's true, which is, I believe in my heart, is beyond that, is become what God's trying to bring a society, which different society than what we see today in the world. And this where it's become the key factor for it. And this why I'm going to look to the three things, which is about past, present, and future, about what Christ means for us. All right. And I'm going to go through some of the verses there. And as we look to that, we'd end up that your life and mine is beyond what we have now, beyond just going to work, beyond just existed, beyond just have a family, beyond just have houses and all these things the world today have, but is actually in many ways your purpose and mine much greater and divine. The church missed it over many years, but especially for the last 30, 40 years, the church moved away in a reality why the church exists. People start to emphasize about the kingdom, and some emphasize more about the church, but you cannot have the kingdom without the church. You cannot have the church without the kingdom, because the church is the career of the kingdom, career of the king. If you're a career of the king within you as you're born again Christian, then what would happen, the characteristics of this king is what lives within you and I. And this is important to see. The kingdom of God will manifest, mean the king will manifest. This means the characteristics of the king we start to be seen in our marriages, relationships, and every aspect of life. And this is the challenge. If we look together, all right, in Romans 8:29, it said, God has predestined his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. And this is what happened in the beginning, in the past. Before everything else, in the mind of God, as I mentioned before, to have presentative for him, present him on the earth. Not as a, in the natural, by the five senses. This is what man happened to him. When he denied the lordship, when he denied the fellowship, when he actually disobeyed God in many ways, he started to live in his five senses, which is seeing, feeling, smelling, and all these things. I mean, become close down to earth, then actually live, all right, in line what a heaven have for him. And this is where it's happening. Today, most people, including Christians, live in the, according to the flesh, which is the five senses, if I feel like it. Or I, you know, they just believe in the touch, what they see, what they hear, and all these things. But he came, and this is happening in the past. God meant from the beginning that you and I carry that image. Now we move from there to the present time, which we, if you can go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into his likeness, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now we're talking about now the indwelling, all right, of the Spirit of God within us is not just teach you, guide you, no, but it transforms you as well into that likeness. Why he wants to transform you and I to that likeness? Because that seed, the uncorruptible seed, you received from when you're born again, which is the life of Jesus, life of Christ, been implanted deep into your spirit, deep inside, that seed need to grow. And the one going to grow it, right, is the Word and the Spirit of God. When that seed grow, what the Spirit of God within you is going to manifest on the outward person. It's going to manifest in many ways in your marriages, in your relationship with your kids. It's going to put with you in your workplace, with your neighbors, with the people you interact with every day. And this is the characteristics of the king, that life is start to manifest today, and you go from glory to glory. The Bible said, that means the glory is not to do with me or with you in the natural sense, but to do with that person who starts to dwell within us. And that's we start to manifest in my relationships, what happened there. Then the kingdom of God, which characteristic of the king, start to manifest in your marriages, in your parenting, in every aspect of life, in the workplace. And you become the salt, the Bible said. You become the, you know, the light, which is not your light. It's not to do with your salting. We are not salt in many ways. We are from the mud. But actually because the presence of God within us, because of Christ himself within us, and he manifests through the Holy Spirit, things start to change because you change, because I change, because my behavior, attitude start to be in line with the mind of Christ. And this is where it comes to say, and you change from glory to glory. You'll continue to do that in the present time. But the beautiful thing is, okay, in the past, what God intended, today what he wants to do to continue to change us, but where is the future of that? And this is where they become an amazing thing. And when you're talking about heaven, if it's the purpose of your salvation or conversion and get saved just to die and go to heaven, then there's something wrong with the whole plan of God. God is not intending that you born again and you die. Because we have many dead people around us with no life in them. Even some Christians today walking around like zombies. They need to realize there is another life which can bring not just the all the beauty of heaven in many ways, but bring God himself to walk among us. You go everywhere. You work, you go to connect with people. In other words, Jesus, in many ways, all right, moving in everywhere. And God intend for his glory to fill your homes, your businesses, even to the end of the earth. This is continuous happening there. Then in first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 2, we talk about the future, your future and mine. Beloved, we are God's children. Now it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow, aren't you, you know, something mind-blowing for what God have in mind. The Bible said, nobody knows how we're going to look like. We really didn't know completely how he looks like. We didn't know how he, you know, what kind of person completely he intended for you and I to become as individual, as a church. I'm talking about even the church of God at large. When you say we don't know any detail what we shall be in that last day, but we know that we will be like him. Nobody saying amen to that one. Hallelujah. Well, if we're not excited of that person who choose, we're talking about the Lord, choose this man who from the mud, this man who worth nothing, and he can live there and make him worthy of everything. Come on, give the Lord a good clap for that. Isn't it? Well, I think he deserves it. Because otherwise, what happened, all right, we say, the early church went preaching something. They said, preaching Jesus, preaching his death, resurrection, ascension. And the whole world in that time was similar to our world today in many ways. The world in that time became immoral. The world in that time become, you know, homosexuality, abortions, and all other things, you know, the man does, even in that time they were there. The whole system, the political system, the military system, the even social system collapsing, and the emperor didn't know what to do. He suddenly realized his grandmother is born again Christian. He looked at her life and he said something there. He started to look to the church life and he found something different what he have. And he become Christian for political reasons and everybody can become Christians. But God never meant that the church become polluted. But you converted, you've been saved, that you may reflect him. Can you imagine my marriage would look like if Hannah and Huda continued to be transformed to that image and the likeness of Jesus? It would be complete what God had intended, to become one. Completely, emotionally, physically, in all other things. But this will not be complete until we completely meet with him and see the picture, that picture there. It's mean in many ways, right, in this journey of life, bring us to place, what is Christ's likeness in this relationship? What Christ's likeness in our relationships? And the church went highway in many ways. We started to build on emphasis. I didn't know why you came to Christ. Some today have been heard the preaching over the years, all right, about, you know, come to Jesus and everything become nice and rosy for you. And he will bless you and we make him like a Santa Claus. I said to our church yesterday afternoon, the Spanish church, I said, if you lose everything, if there'll be no money, no house, everything gone highway in your life, will you still love Jesus? Are you there because when you can get out of it, or you're there because of who he is? And we sing it because of who he is, or we sing it because we enjoy the music. Amen. And we praise him because of the King and the Lord and the Savior of all, and he's the one restoring everything back to what the Father have in heart. The sons of God will manifest in the last days. You cannot have authority without you become more like him. Otherwise, in the book of Acts said, the devil comes around and these people trying to do the same thing like Jesus, in a way like Paul. He said, Paul, we know Jesus, we know who are you? We need to come to place to realize I am existed not for anything but to become like him. At the church, the more become that way. And the Bible tells me, in the last days, it will come when the government of this world, when the nations will come to place. They have no other way to look because they lost every wisdom. They lost everything. It's chaos. It will come where? To the church, because the church carry the marks of the King. But if we carry it, supposed to be in our marriages, in our parenting, in other aspects of life, and that's where the impacts will come in. And I start looking to this, and I'm going to just mention a few things which is you and I to be transformed to be like him. First letter of John, chapter 2, verse 6. Some example, illustration from the scripture. This is important. He said there, he who says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way as he walked. Talking about walking is talking about life. But how are you going to learn to walk? How are you going to learn life? And most people in general, we come to habit, we go to church on Sunday, we get the message there, and we go home, and that's it, type of thing. I remember I was talking to a brother, been 20 years in the Lord, and I said to him, you know, he prophesied, he does all these things, and I said, do you read your Bible? Do you spend time in the presence of God? He said, no, I just come Sunday and take my shelter and go home. What kind of life you intend this person have? That means when things go tough, it become like a chocolate, all right? When the sun comes, heat on it, it become melting. But the ones who actually rooted and live and dwell in Christ, and he dwells in them, and then what does that mean? Not just mental, but also become, not just revelation, become conviction. And this person starts to learn the characteristic of the King and apply it to everyday living. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible for man to do it. But the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord gave us the tools. God gave us the divine presence of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to do it. And this is where it becomes important. Some of you may immediately say, go, it's impossible. But the Bible tells me it is what is impossible for man, it is possible for the Lord. That means no excuse for man in many ways, because he gave us what we need to be conformed and changed every day. Some other time I'll speak about message, beholding on Jesus will bring transformation. Because if you don't hold on him, no change come, no transformation come. It's why in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, you've been incarnated in a way. They said the word of God came, God being incarnated to a human person, to a person. You and the seed in you, you've been reincarnated, become an image to show forth to the world who Christ is. If there's no change in our life, this means there's something wrong in our relationship with the Lord. There's something wrong. We're not, in many ways, All right? It comes. You have knowledge, which if you spend time in the scripture, you will have knowledge. But and wisdom will come when it becomes revelation to you and conviction to your heart, but become more understanding for you when you apply it to your life. Because this is what my Bible said about the house built on these three. And you and I, we need to learn to spend time. We wonder sometimes why a Muslim blow himself up. When I look very closely there, they, in many ways they have the principle, but they use it for evil things. May I have the water? I looked to there. I came from Jordan, and I know how they do it. The Bible said to meditate in the Word of God, but the way they do it, they go to the scripture, and they open the Bible, their book, and they read it. From the moment they're born, just about, they read it, and they read it, and they read it, and they read it. And then they read the other books, which is the sheikhs or the mullahs, all right, put it there, and become what? Captivate their heart and mind, and they can be able to go and blow themselves up. The same thing, in many ways, the same principle works in the Jewish boys, in Judaism. By the age of 14, the Jewish boy or girl, just about, they will learn the five books of Moses by heart. And the 12 disciples, they failed to become rabbis because they didn't finish. This way, when Jesus, the rabbi, called them to follow him, they were so glad that rabbi calling them. And they followed him everywhere he goes. And he started to teach them with a difference. Not religion, not the law, started to share with them different kind of kingdom, different kind of characteristics. And that's what the Lord came to do. He came that you and I will come to a place to realize, or as what John is trying to tell us. Philippians say, have this mind. The word mind means behavior, attitudes of Christ among yourself, which was in whom? In the pastors and the preachers? He said, in Christ. This is why in the book of Acts saying that the people of Maria, more noble than all the others, you know what for? Because they heard Paul and they went home and searched the scriptures. That's when you hear messages and all that, my friend, especially in these last days, you don't take it for gospel. You go to the Word of God and search. Is this in line with Jesus' characteristics? Is this in line with God's character? Or are there other motives behind it? And we can see that in the world today. The name of the preachers, the name of organizations, and all that become the focus more than Christ himself. And there is where the danger in the last days. They will say Christ is here, and Christ is there, and Christ everywhere. But no, my friend, Christ is within you. This is why we need to have that discipline. Thank God for the discipline of the prayer and the, you know, the reading, the worship, and all that. But they have to be there. A transformation relied on the Holy Spirit to bring the shift and the change. He's saying that, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped for his own selfish enjoyment. Hey, everything we have is not for our enjoyment. It's for his enjoyment. I could imagine when you treat your wife well in line with the king characteristic, or your husband, or your daughters, your sons, or even other people, I could see the father there smiling and the son saying, I died for them. This is why they're where they are today. They're carrying the same mark, same DNA. And it should be You should be running around the place, exhorting and saying to the Lord, thank you that you live in me today. And he goes from there. When he had finished, he assumed his place and said, if then I, your God, sorry, I'm reading in the wrong place, but emptied himself, taking a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human's form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. When that seed came in within you, when you converted into the Lord, that need to become, just using this shell, this earthly thing, to bring forth what God intended for it. The church is the carrier of the kingdom. The kingdom carries the characteristics of the king. And then the world will see different things in the kingdom of God. And they will come. They have to fight for it. God will fulfill his purpose with you or without you. He will fill his people without us. He can. The Bible, Jesus said, God can raise these stones to worship him. God can. But I want to be part of that team, aren't you? Are you prepared to be that team, to spend time in his presence, and he can change everything in your life? And always I thought, if God changed my wife, I will serve better. And that's the truth. If she just walk with me the way I want her to walk, if you just go with me to Fairfield and plant the churches there, and it'll be fine. She did. But you know, in that time, and I remember her words, she said, Hannah, maybe you heard me say it. You said, I'm going to go with you there and just say that with my lips, but inside I'm saying no. But God honored her obedience, and she started to love Fairfield more than I do. And we've been 50 years. I can learn from her. She carried me for 50 years. Can you imagine that? A woman like her carried this earthly man with all his shortcomings, with all his weaknesses, with all what God put in him as well for 50 years. Other women will give up. But she learned more than I do what it means to be in Christ. And I learned to carry her for 50 years as well. Iron sharpen iron. We become look like each other sooner or later in many ways. And this way he continued from there. He's saying, he emptied what? He emptied your wife, your husband. He emptied your kids. He emptied himself. Yes, I mean, more I emptied myself, the more he fills me up. Hey, this bottle have water in it. If it's full, and continue to be full and look at, sooner or later this water, you cannot drink it sooner or later. But you need to become, not like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea in Jordan becomes salty and no life in it. Because there's no outlet. The water come fresh and sit there. You can go to Jordan one day. You will see the place is still the same. Even that Lot's wife, that column of salt is still there. You can see it if you go. All the land in there, black stones. There will be no plants. It's black because of Sodom and Gomorrah took place in there. It's still the same. Because was no flowing of the river. Because no flowing of the presence of God in that times. This why it's important that you empty yourself. And this where it comes, we are in many ways become like him when we allowed him that had to abide, and we allowed also to abide in him. Secondly, we are to be like Christ in his service. We know in the upper room, when before Jesus went to the cross, He gets his disciples together, and he decides to wash their feet. And you remember what happened with Peter there? Peter said, no, you don't do that. He said, if I don't do it, you have no place with me in the kingdom. Then he said to him, what? He said, wash me from the top of my head down to my toes. He said, you didn't need that because you've been cleaned by the word. Only your feet need to be cleaned. And he washed their feet. He showed them. He didn't come to what? To be served. He came to serve. In other words, your feet goes everywhere. You go to the job, you go to the communities, places, you go everywhere, your feet, and things hang in there. Your eyes see things, your ears hear things. It can impact our lives. That means the only way for this to be clean and it became again moving in the characteristics of Christ is when I spend time in his presence and I know more and more that he's the one can cleanse me and clean my feet. I remember Jeffrey White, one of my assistant pastors, years back, he's the one that God used. We planted the church down in Moria. I think Gerard, not Jeffrey White. Gerard came and knocked on my door. We are in Westbury, if you remember. He said, Pastor, the Lord put my heart to wash your feet. Did ever anybody wash your feet? It's the most humbling moments of my life. You feel like so small. I said, Gerard, you can't do that. He said, you have to. I feel in the Lord, I need to do that to my brother, to my pastor. And in the end, I said, okay. And as he started taking my shoes off, I just want the ground to open up because I'm not worthy for him to do that. And the Lord said, you better let him do it. And he took the socks and he washed my feet. It's not about washing feet in the natural. I remember I was doing a wedding to a Zimbabwean man in our church in Fairfield. And he came to me as a Zimbabwean from Africa. Normally the lady there, if you've been to Africa, if she's going to serve you, especially serve a man, she will go on her knees and serve the food to the man. He said, I want to do one thing in my wedding. I said, what's that? He said, I want to wash my wife's feet. Remember him. I said, wow. That's a good example for all the Africans in our church in that time, even the visitors and all that. He bent down and washed her feet. And I said, son, can you do that to the rest of your life with her? He came to do that. Washing the feet. We go everywhere. And we see everything, especially in this day and age. You know, it's so many, we're bombarded with so many things. Kids bombarded with so many things. Social media, all these things. You like it or not, it does affect you. You know, I'm doing research about the Word of God, and then these things pumps up. I'm trying to get rid of them, especially a person like me doesn't know about computers. It's been worse. All right? It does affect us. But thank God that my wife is there to wash my feet. Thank God I wash her feet. But we need one another as well to wash each other's feet because we have many things. We start to have our own opinions, our own philosophy, even about marriage. In a week or so from now, I have a sermon, you know, seminar to do for our church in Granville about marriage. Even marriage today becomes so mixed up. People don't know what marriage is, don't know what to have a wife is, to have kids is, and all that. Because the world starts to bring a lot of opinions and philosophy, but the answers already in the Word. If I walk and live
and my wife see me changing into that image, she'll have no trouble to submit. Because she knows the heart, the motives there. And she knows. Because why? Because the man supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. It's a principle there. Is it something there to be built into our character? Because the old life passed away. The old things passed away. The old philosophy passed away. But the new things came. And the new one came is Jesus. Serving him. He served that way. We need to serve one another. It's not about just come and play music here or lead worship, about standing on the doors and not fixing the chairs or anything like this. We need to thank God for what we have when we gather together. It's about how your journey become lighter and how my journey become lighter. I told you that many times in the past. There is an Arabic proverb. There are two people journey together, and the one of them said to the other, you carry me or I carry you. And this guy looked at him and said, oh, come on, you're a big guy. How am I going to carry you? In other words, talk to me or I talk to you. Have a conversation with one another. And then what happened when you talk to one another, the journey looks like becomes shorter. Even the same distance becomes shorter because you've been fellowshipping, talking with one another. And the same talking, when you do that, my friend, it's like the two disciples. You remember, Jesus served them a different way. There's these two disciples. Jesus went on the cross and died on the cross, and their heart is heavy, and they're confused. The life becomes dark on them, and they're walking together in the way to almost to Jerusalem, and they're talking about the loss they have. And Jesus was walking behind them. And the Bible tells me, he explained the scripture. He explained the law in a different way to them about his the prophecies and all that about himself. And the Bible said their hearts become warm. And hope comes in, and all this comes in, and they lift their heads, and Jesus showed them the way. He cleaned their feet by giving them understanding, all right, of the scripture. And he goes from there, which we need to look like him, all right, like him, how he loves. There's another thing I in the future speak about, different kind of love supposed to have, especially love toward God, love toward our wives and husband, love toward children, love to the neighbors, and we go to the house of God. And this one he said, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrance. Oh, what a beautiful smell. When you express real love to your wife, to your kids and all that, what happened there? Become like that smell. Fill your noises, and you fill all the atmosphere. And then start to go, just imagine that. It start to go up toward heaven. And the Father will talk to all the people in heaven, can you smell something down there? Can you smell that beautiful smell come from that marriage? Can you smell that beautiful smell come from the parenting? Can you smell that from the businesses? Can you smell that in the church? And then you see that love of my son is expressed in different ways. Ooh. Notice this one have two parts. The first part is walk in love, in connecting to the behavior, the attitude of Jesus. That's what he's saying here. And then you go to the second part. You say the verse say that he gave himself for us, which is not a continuous thing. He gave himself past, and it's all the present, the future, one time. That means, hallelujah. Oh, my Father, every time I go there, I said, there is so much on every point, I can go for hours on them, because that's what his heart is, that to be transformed. And this way is important. Paul urging us to be like Jesus in his death, in his life. What does it mean? Die for self. In other words, not about you and me. It's about Christ and the other person. I got from there, which is important, Christ like his Christ in patience. Why I mentioned this one? Because I found ourselves, I'm talking about myself too, we are impatient, especially with our beloveds at home. Oh, come on, you don't look like an innocent. We all have the same challenge. I used to go and in the parks and cancel people in the parks because I could not go to their homes and stay there until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and come home. And then my daughter or my son say something, and then I'm impatient. But is it to be patient like him? Anybody pray for patience? You know, this is the danger, isn't it? But I believe God will use every situation and everything happening in your life and mine right through your journey of life, become an opportunity for the Lord to bring patience, grace, compassion, love, and all other things into become reality. This one, don't complain about your life in many ways. Learn from there what the Lord wants you to do in that situation. God, if you ask for patience, God will use the circumstance of your life to teach you patience. And this is what he did in his life. And this is what he wants to do in our life. This is why chapter 2, verse 1 in Peter, particular, Peter urges the Christian, all right, slaves, employees, to be patient with the employers, employees, be patient with the employees, and we go that way. Be patient with your daughters, your kids, especially if they are teenagers. The Western world created the teenagers thing. I don't believe they're teenagers and they're adults. And I believe God never meant to separate people. Your teenagers, your children, even when they're little, may not understand, but you need to talk with them as they are completely, totally mature. Because when they learn from that age, all right, it will grow with it. Or teenagers, you know, think differently. I thought so, because many years in our work in the House of Hope, and that time, the kids speak different language. I'm talking about in the 80s and 90s, where people, you remember, some of you are so young, you can't even realize that, but they start talking about, this is wicked. You know, this is this, that, and I'm just, what do they mean by that? And then I had to learn their language, understand what they're trying to say. They had their own way of communication, and we need to connect. And this is why the Bible is saying about we need to be patient and listen. And most of us, we don't listen, especially men, they don't listen. You know why? Because we are wired differently. Many times I know my wife doesn't want me to fix things up, because when she tells me about something, in my mind goes right away, I want to how to fix it. Give her the answers. All what she wants for me, not to give her the answers, to just to listen. And my kids the same thing, and your kids the same thing. The more we listen, the more we learn about the other person, the more we're patient with that, we start to say where they come from and then how to deal with it. My Father in heaven was patient with me, still up to now, I'm 75, but in 27 years of my life, he was so patient waiting on me until I recognized him as Lord and Savior. I don't know how many angels he sent in my way, and I denied them. Many people told me about Jesus, and I said, I was a street fighter, in my young age, and I thought this is the way. And he came, thank God he came, and he saved me because he was patient. I'm there, all right? This really, not just that, he also in New Testament talk about to be in his mission, like him in his mission. Jesus said in John 20, verse 21, as you, Father, have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Don't send us into darkness to bring light. God sent us to where it's confusion, to bring understanding, and to bring wisdom. God sent us, left us here, that you and I to reflect his wisdom. The Bible said, wisdom came. He is the wisdom. He said, grace came. He is grace. That person, Jesus, and all these things, and you and I have been sent out there to bring it to the world, to the people. The church goes everywhere. You go everywhere. You go to work, you go to social events, you go to there and all these things. What you bring, God will give you the opportunity to share the person who actually within you. He came and shared the Father. And he said to the disciples, I've been with you for so long, you don't realize the Father. You've been with Christ so long, you can't realize it. And then what he's trying to say to us is, mean the divine purpose of God in the end to restore everything. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said the earthquakes took place, darkness came in. And still the earth, up to now, in the last days, says the earth will groan inside, waiting for the sons of God to manifest. I desire to see the sons of God in every sphere of life, in every sphere of the community, the government, everywhere. Because this is the only option. We cannot fight it with the flesh and blood, but we can fight it in the spirit by being who Christ is. You are born for that purpose. You're still here for that purpose. And if you don't believe that, go spend time in his presence and he will tell you about it. The Christian likeness, all right, and also through his suffering, when you go to this world, there's a suffering in it. You're going to suffer for your faith. You're going to be rejected for what you believe. Believe me, you think it's now, it's bad, wait another few years from now. They're talking about 2030, talking about 2050 and all that. I'm not sure I'll be here by that time. I'm not running away from it. I said, good Lord, give me more life. If that's what you desire, that I be what you want me to be, I'm growing there. I'm not there yet, but I'm growing there. And the same with you. But who going to bring the kingdom of God to be seen? The only kingdom of God can be seen through characteristics of the King and is already in you. You just have to move in it. May the Holy Spirit convict your heart and bring you to that place. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It's a time for you and I to start taking the step. Every time you take a step, God's grace be released to enable you. In other words, that grace of God will come with every step. God will enable you to start to live that way. It's difficult? Yes. My God, it is. It's like you bring a knife and you cut the flesh. Because every time you move that way, the flesh dies. It's not what you think, what you believe, about yourself, about self-esteem and all that. Let it be Christ's esteem. Become more confident in that one. That's why it's important to respond. Being like Jesus. That's what he meant. That's his divine purpose. That's for the world to see. And his glory will fill the earth. That's why God have
community, Christian community here, there, and everywhere. And everyone presents different color, different way, aspects of who he is. This way, thank God for his house. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the C3s, and thank God for the others, because everyone brings different flavor, different aspects in there. There's some churches more involved in different ways in different part of the society. But let us be one objective, that you become part of the purpose of God, and you become humble and obedient, and spend time in the closet. Go. There's never meant to be rules and regulation and law to burden people or condemn them or bring them submission. Because I can use this Bible to manipulate you in many different ways and show you the scriptures too. But the purpose is not that. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If it's in Christ, there's no condemnation. If it's in Christ, will be no guilt, no fear, all these things in there. But you go there from Genesis to Revelation and say to the Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me. Reveal his characteristics. Reveal how can I show forth that person who dwells within me. That's only come by changing the way we think. Because if that changed, your behavior changed, everything else changed. Let's close our eyes, please. Father, we thank you. As Jesus said, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Lord, I speak over the church, the hand of the Lord is upon us. When you say the hand of the Lord is upon us, I speak about leading, it's being about teaching, guiding. The hand of the Lord brings protection. The hand of the Lord will bring healing. The hand of the Lord will bring answers. The heart of the Lord will bring wisdom how to deal with certain situations in our life. Lord, the hand of yours is upon us. And we thank you that your hand will never be lifted, will be always there to the end times, until we finish our race. Thank you, Lord, for the heroes of the world. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who receive it to their hearts and start to, Lord, put it into practice. Even if their five senses don't agree with it, but though they know the truth, and the truth, God, Lord, start to send them to a place of freedom, a place they've never been there before, where there's more harmony, more unity among, in families, in our church, in our midst, in the church of God at large. We thank you again that we become part of your divine purpose. In Jesus' name, and all the saints say, Amen.